and your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church in Merritt Island. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Wednesday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Wednesday here with me as we together sit under the authority of the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak. That's what we're going to do today. That's what we always do. We're sitting under the Word. Now, the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, has got a lot to say here today. Here in this letter to the Romans, his purpose in this first 2.5 chapters is to throw everyone under the bus. That everyone would see and realize that they're sinners and in need of salvation, and that all of us, for we all come short of the glory of God. And he's going to say later that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So he's just starting now to convict everyone of sin. And there's a long list here he's going to start, where he starts it with the words, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against." And then he's going to show us various people that God's given up on, that the time is coming. And if you want proof of that, turn on the television set and look at the news. There comes a time in a person's life where God will no longer draw you or convict you or work through your conscience to draw you back to him and lead you to repentance. That's where we're at here today. This is part two of this message. Love to see you at church tonight, 6 o'clock. We're in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. You're invited. Again, we would love to see you. Join us live. That Facebook feed will be on. We'll turn on live right at 6 as well. Okay, here we go. This is part two of this message now, the dynamite of God.
And that's what happens when a man tries to suppress the truth of the glorious power of God. It's like sitting on a little 6-inch pipe trying to hold this almighty hurricane, that's almighty God, to hold the truth down. Same here. The truth is like a great geyser ready to explode. And there's people out here who know the truth and are sitting on that pipe trying to suppress the truth, trying to keep you from knowing the truth. They suppress the truth, like COVID and where it came from. They know it. They just don't want you to know it. Or the COVID vaccine, right? And its damage being untested. They know it, but they suppress it. They don't want you to know it. Or the million other things out here that they know but won't disclose to you. Like the Pharisees who knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but they suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. They paid off the guards who were watching his tomb. They paid them off so that they wouldn't talk. And they suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. They knew, but they were phonies and frauds. Most of these crooked politicians out here suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They know it, but they try to keep you from knowing it. Which is why the government and the FBI tried to take over Twitter and Facebook a couple years ago, so that they continue to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And there's also the personal application of this verse, that you suppress the truth that's been given to you. So not just organizations or companies or things like that, or the government or drug companies, but you, this is the much better way to take this, is he's talking to you. You suppress the truth. Verse 19, because, meaning this is what you did, this is what you did to suppress the truth. It says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Now let's make this personal. What may be known of God is manifest in you. Not them, you. Sorry, this was me Monday through Saturday. Now at 11 o'clock, now it's your turn. I got it for 160 some odd hours this week. What may be known of God is manifest in you because God has shown it to you right here in your heart. You've got the truth all along. It's right here in your kidneys, in your intestines. Remember, the Lord Jesus, he even says, I am he who searches minds and hearts. But that word for hearts is your intestines. Like that old saying, you know, we have, oh, I had a gut feeling about that. He even searches that. Because God has shown it to you and in you, deep down inside where you can't miss it, which is why the Bible says that you are without excuse. You know that you know that you know that Jesus is real and that Jesus is Lord and that the Bible is true. And that all of this that we live in here is intelligent design, not evolution. Intelligent design. Now, to reject that is to suppress the truth that God has already shown you. And that rejection, if permanent, will cost you your soul. Remember, there's no such thing as an atheist. A so-called atheist is someone who suppresses the truth and unrighteousness, and someone who refused to bow the knee to the Son of God. Now, you come into my office for 30 minutes, and you won't leave an atheist or an agnostic. You'll either leave as a fool who won't bow the knee, or you'll leave as my brother. That's how I hope you'd leave. I mean, even the word agnostic means fool. So you call yourself that. Don't get upset at me. I'm just agreeing with you, right? You're an agnostic. That's what the word gnosis is, the Greek word for smarts, for knowledge. You've just called yourself a fool. If you knew what the word means, you wouldn't call yourself that. It's like wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm with stupid. And the arrow is pointing up at your skull. Who would do that? Would you wear a shirt that says, I'm with stupid, pointing at yourself? You see, now that you know what the word means, you see, you wouldn't call yourself that. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in you, for God has shown it to you. Let me poke a little and let me do a little prodding this morning. What part of God loves you do you not like? Why does that verse make you angry that God loves you? Jesus was crucified for that message. Because people refused to give up their power or their position or their stuff. And they missed out on eternal life. I mean, in your opinion, do you think Jesus dying in your place, because the wages of sin is death, do you personally think that Jesus dying in your place is good news, or does that news make you angry? It's either one of those two. And if it does make you angry, may I suggest that you've been deceived? That's all. You've been deceived. We just got to make it right today. That's all. If you're upset that God loves you, let's get the smoke to clear here. And let me humbly suggest to you that you've been deceived. No one is upset when someone loves them. No one. And if you feel that way, you've had help. You've had help. Now, verse 20, and more proof and more evidence against you if you try to plead ignorance. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attribute. Now, look how far he stretches this, he says. He says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are, look what it says, without excuse. God's invisible attributes, they're clearly seen. Look around. All of this is no accident. God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. His invisible attributes of holding this world together. His invisible attributes of all that he has done. And they're all understood by the things that are made. Do you think Niagara Falls is an accident? Do you think a sunset in Isla Mirada, Florida is an accident? Or the Continental Divide, when you come out of the Eisenhower Tunnel in Colorado and you look around, and do you really think that that is an accident? And God says to you, his invisible attributes, they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Do you think the earth tilts at 23 degrees is an accident? His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and his Godhead, so that they are, look what the text says next. It says, without excuse. The word is apologetos with an A in front of it. Without an excuse, like the dog ate my homework, kind of, without excuse. Where we get our word apology from. But with the A in front of it, negates the word. No apology, without an excuse. There's nothing you can say. Reminds me of that old song. It's probably too old for Jace to know this one. I'm sorry, so sorry. Now, who wrote that song? I'll give you a dollar if you can tell me who did that. Where's Linda? Brenda Lee. You won't be able to say that to God. It's what, on Judgment Day, I'm sorry. Everyone's without excuse. We'll be without an excuse because God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. They are understood by the things that are made. All the God-denying scientists on TV are those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. All the brainy, universe-loving atheists out there all know the truth. Because God has shown it to them and he's shown it in them. They're without excuse. His invisible attributes are clearly seen. They're understood by the things that are made. So that they are without excuse on judgment day when you stand before God. Verse 21. Because although they knew God. You see, I just told you. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became, you see, I told you what the word agnostic meant. It's not me. Look what the text calls them. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So, that would be what? Environmentalists? Here's this list of where everyone went wrong. Number one, they didn't glorify God because he's worthy of all praise. Look at all that he's done in your life. The number one charge here against humanity is that they did not glorify Almighty God. Number two, they were not thankful, again, for all that he's done for them. Look at all God's done in your life. Number three, futile or vain or worthless thinking. Number four, darkened hearts. It's meditating on evil. Number five, thinking they're so smart. Well, actually, you're a fool. Like thinking all this is an accident or a product of evolution. Look, people believe like this because they don't want to give an account to God for the choices that you make. Number six, by changing the glory of God into a man-made image. And number seven, lastly on my list, exchanging the truth of God for the lie. And that would be, well, the truth is Jesus is Lord, right? Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice, he says, John 18:37. The truth that God is the creator and the supreme glory of all things and is the almighty God and is the true master of the universe. All that exchanged for the lie, which today is, right, what we just looked at. Putting something else in God's place regarding worship. And worshiping the creation instead of the creator who was blessed forever. Now that's a warning. I'm not calling out environmentalists. God has committed, he has appointed us to taking care of the environment. But the problem is when you worship the creation instead of the creator, that's who he's referring to. We all need to take care of the environment, but you don't bow the knee and worship the earth or anything that's in the earth. We bow the knee and worship Almighty God who created everything. Now, the lie coming up in the tribulation is going to be Antichrist is God. I mean, he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. If you're around at that time, what do you think you're going to believe? He sits as God, showing himself that he is God. All right, we'll move forward. Now, next up, for the very first time, we're going to discover that there comes a time in a person's life that God may actually give them up and stop drawing them and stop calling them and stop convicting them of sin. That's verse 24. Says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now, uncleanness doesn't mean you're dirty from cutting the lawn or changing the oil in your car. It's morally unclean or lewd. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie? And they worshiped and served the creation, or we could say worshiped and served the creation rather than the creator who was blessed forever. Amen. So that's what I meant when I said hardcore environmentalists who worship the creation instead of Almighty God. That's what I meant. Here it is right there. Book, chapter, and verse. Romans 1:25. Then it says here, verse 26, it says, for this reason, well, that would be for exchanging the truth of God or the truth about God for the lie. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Speaks for itself. He's referring to homosexuals, gays, and lesbians. And over-the-top environmentalists worshiping the creation instead of the creator. Verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Look around the world today. You'll see millions of people that this has already happened to. I mean, he's just warned you three times that this was going to happen. Look around at all of the proud killers out here. I want you to see what this looks like in action. All you need to do is on any given day, turn the news on. And you'll see this in action. That is, the killers who aren't convicted anymore. They're not convicted of sin. They laugh about what they did. They're proud of it. And they're hoping that that's going to be their legacy of killing. That's what it looks like when this has happened to you. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. This is a terrible list. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to their parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, they not only do the same, but they approve of those who practice them. So, uh-oh. Now he throws into the same boat everyone who approves of people that are guilty of this. Look, church family and beyond, let me explain this. Never stop loving people, but never approve of what they do when what they do is going to cause a chain reaction like this, culminating in God giving a person up. Thank God people never stop loving me. Summit, New Jersey's chief sinner. I just needed more time. But people didn't give up on me, and they kept on praying for me. Never stop loving, but never reprove. Keep building trust with people so that they never forget that you love them and that they'll always hear the truth coming from you, no matter how painful that may be. People can always rely and count on the fact that they're going to hear the truth from you. What do you want to hear from me? The truth or a lie like everyone else is telling you? What do you want to hear from me? I mean, imagine going to the doctor, and you go to the doctor and you got a simple cancer that he can fix. And you go there and you say, "Doc, how am I doing?" And he knows that you have it. He knows he can heal you. And he says to you, "Oh, you're fine. That's all right." And doesn't do anything to help you. What kind of doctor would that be? I mean, I look at myself as a spiritual doctor. And not only that, I've never lost a case. Never. I've never lost a case. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. He will help you. No matter what it is you've done, no matter what you believe, no matter what your past is, he can forgive you of that. God says he will have amnesia with your sins and remember them no more. There's nothing that you've done that can't be fixed here this morning. Nothing. As long as there's breath in you, the Holy Spirit's compelled you to come into his house or to watch it here on YouTube or to listen in on the radio this Tuesday. The Holy Spirit's drawn you here. There's nothing that you have done that can't be obliterated here this morning. So that on Monday, God will say to you, "What sins?" "I don't remember any sins." never stop loving. Remember how we started today. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Now we'll stop here for today. Next week, the apostle will show Jew and Gentile alike that they're all sinners and that everyone is in need of a Savior. Also, next week, God's plan is to deal with how and what God's plan is to deal with our sins and how to get right with God is going to appear on the scene as we get to chapter 3 here next week. That's where we're going to be. So let's pray. Lord, we exalt you here. Lord, please forgive me for calling myself an agnostic or an atheist. Thank you for opening my eyes and my heart to truly see that you love me. That's the truth. And I embrace that and receive that today. You died on the cross for me because you love me. You demonstrated your own love for me, and that while I was still a sinner, you died for me. That's the truth. I receive your love today. I receive your Son today. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I receive him today. Thank you for the truth, for thy word is truth. And Lord, please write my name in the book of life today. And it's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. And amen. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave you guys with this blessing, and I want to pray for the food and food fellowship here in the back. Let's pray one more. Lord, we thank you for this food and the gathering here today. Thank you for sending everyone here into your house here today. Lord, bless our food here today. Thank you for all this food. Thank you for all these wonderful people you've brought here today. Bless our lunch now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I leave you here with this blessing here out of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, I invite everyone, even if you're new here today, stop into the kitchen, share some food here. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And the church family said, amen. God bless everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you back soon. Hopefully Wednesday night, 6 o'clock for Bible study.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.